joined right now by a reporter and a storyteller for NFL Media. He is a Hall of Fame voter. He is the author of Junior Seau, The Life and Death of a Football Icon. He is a very good friend of the program. He is Jim Trotter. Jim, what's going on? How are you?
Romy, I'm doing great. How you doing, man?
Good, man. Good. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. Good to have you.
Same to you, brother. Always a pleasure.
You too. All right, Jim. So Jacksonville announced that they were going to relieve Tom Coughlin of his duties as executive VP of football ops. Let me start right there. Jim, what was your reaction when you heard that news?
I wasn't necessarily surprised. What surprised me was the information that came out in the NFLPA statement a couple of days earlier where they said that 25% of the player grievances that it has filed over the last 2 years were against the Jacksonville Jaguars. I mean, that's a culture problem right there. And so I think if you're the owner, and I know Shad Khan came out and said he had made a decision earlier in the year that he was going to make a change, but when that came out, you had to do this now, and you had to send a message to the players, particularly when, and I've never heard this before, where the union was advising players to consider that, take that into consideration when they're deciding where to sign and where to play. That's just unbelievable to me.
Jim Trotter is my guest. Exactly. I've never seen that before. I can't even imagine that. But that's why they did what they had to do. Now, you mentioned you've never seen that, Jim. As somebody who's covered the league a long time, let me transition to this. Jacksonville was one of the teams that could have drafted Lamar Jackson, but they did not. As somebody who has covered the league for as long as you have, how many players have you seen come into the NFL the way Lamar has and transformed a team and an organization as quickly as he has?
It's unusual, Jim, but I say this, you know, we talk so much about Lamar and he deserves a lot of credit, but I give a ton of credit to the organization from this standpoint. The conversations I've had with John Harbaugh about this, if you're going to draft a player with Lamar's skill set, you have to be all in terms of building your offense around that player. And so many NFL head coaches are resistant to that. They typically have their systems. They want to run it their way, and they try and make players fit that. Well, John Harbaugh said, no, we're going to take this player and we're going to fit everything we do around what he does best, and even promoting Greg Roman to offensive coordinator. And what John said to me is, look, you can't dip your toe in the water. You have to go all in if you're going to do this. And so from an organizational standpoint, you know, in my opinion, you have to give the Ravens a ton of credit for that in allowing Lamar Jackson to be Lamar Jackson and to be the transcendent talent that he is. So I don't want to take anything away from him, but I think him being in the right situation, the right structure, is critical, because I think we call so many players busts early in their career and whatnot, and we fail to take into account the circumstances and the context of their situation. And if you get put into a situation where a coach isn't maximizing your ability, your skill set, is that on the player or is that on the coach and the team? And so in this case, that's why I say I think the Ravens organization deserves a lot of credit in the success that Lamar is having, as well as Lamar himself.
We're talking to Jim Trotter, reporter and storyteller for NFL Media. He's a Hall of Fame voter. Now, Jim, you and I have talked many times about Drew Brees over the years, and you've covered him going all the way back to his days in San Diego, which included some really low moments for him personally. So what did you think when you saw him break the career TD record and the single-game completion percentage record at the same time Monday night?
You know, Romy, truthfully, you just, at least for me, I'm never shocked by what Drew does. I've said this before, and I'll say it again. Me personally, I have never covered a player with a greater singular focus than Drew Brees. And when he's done playing, he will be a guy that I can look back and say I think he wrung every bit of potential that he had in his body and in his game out and left it all on the field. You know, you talk about those low moments in San Diego. People forget he was benched in San Diego for Doug Flutie, and they were so prepared to move on from him that they had the number one pick in the draft and drafted Eli Manning and made the trade to get Phillip Rivers. And A.J. Smith was a Phillip Rivers guy. And, in fact, if it had not been for Marty Schottenheimer being there and Marty preferring a veteran quarterback, which had always been his history, we might have seen a change quicker than we saw in terms of Drew Brees to Phillip Rivers. So for me, I'm never shocked at what Drew does, because I'll tell you this story. When that trade went down in the draft and Phillip Rivers was perceived to be the guy at that point, and so on the Monday after the draft, you got to go and you got to get a reaction from the incumbent, who's Drew. So I go down to the facility, and it's not open because, you know, they're not allowing the media in at that point. Workouts aren't going on. I go out to the parking lot. I see Drew. He says, meet me inside. I meet him inside, and I said, hey, I need to get your reaction to this trade. And Drew looks at me in all seriousness, and he says, this is my team. We're going to the playoffs, and I'm going to the Pro Bowl. And I think they hadn't had a winning season in 8 years. And I'm just looking at him kind of stunned. And so the season begins. He struggles the first week in Houston where they win, and Marty Schottenheimer kind of puts him on notice. And from that point forward, he plays great. He midseason ends up being named a Pro Bowl player. I go up to him in the locker room, and I said, hey, Drew, you remember that conversation we had, you know, after the draft? And he says, yeah. And I said, you know, I thought you were delusional, right? And he kind of smiles at me, and he chuckles, and he said, yeah, I know. But that's just him.
Right.
You know, we can say whatever we want, and it means nothing to him. The only thing that matters to him is his belief in himself and his belief in his work ethic and his belief that he can accomplish whatever it is he sets his mind to. And that's why I say I wasn't surprised at all.
Great, great story. Jim Trotter joining us. And Jim, you mentioned Philip Rivers. So the thinking has always been that he was going to be the man to lead them into that new stadium. But is it possible that we are now seeing the end of an era with Rivers and the Chargers?
I definitely think it's possible, Jim. Look, you know, they wanted a face of the franchise to move that organization into the building. And right now, can you have a quarterback who is turnover prone? And this is not something that's happened this year. This has started in previous seasons, so people are just now focusing on it. When I watch Philip today, I don't see that same player from this standpoint. Yes, he's lost some zip on some passes. He doesn't throw the deep out as much as he used to some of those plays. But also what I see is a player who appears to be looking at the rush instead of looking at the play and looking downfield. And that tells me that the hits and the sacks that he has taken over recent years has taken a toll, and he gets antsy. And that's why in the fourth quarter you see some of the mistakes and some of the turnovers that we see. And so if you are the Chargers, you have to ask yourself simply from a football standpoint, can we win with this guy going forward? And I'm not so sure that they are of that mind. Look, he's in the last year of his contract. They did not do an extension at the end of the year. They said they would address it after the season. And I think that there is a very real possibility that we will not see him in the new building next year. Now, having said that, it's easy to say, make a change. The hard part is, who are you going to replace him with? And they have to come up with a better option. The question is, do they feel they have that? And I don't know. I know Anthony Lynn likes Tyrod Taylor, who is a backup quarterback. He was with him in Buffalo. He knows what he's about. He likes him. But is that a guy that you feel that you can build your franchise around and go into a new building? At this point, we just don't know.
We're talking to Jim Trotter for a couple of more moments. So, Jim, this past Sunday was the final game for the Raiders in Oakland. From both a professional and personal standpoint, how do you feel knowing that there will never be another Raider home game in Oakland or in the state of California?
Oh, man, I can't lie to you. It's disappointing. It's painful. The first football game I ever went to as a kid was a Raiders game, preseason game against the New England Patriots. And, you know, I grew up in the Bay Area, and there was such a bond between that community and that team. You know, Oakland at that time was considered, you know, the stepchild of San Francisco, a blue-collar town, all those sorts of cliches you want to use. And that team, it bonded with that team. There was a special chemistry and relationship. And so for me, it hurt seeing that was going to be the last game. And the other thing that really disappointed me last Sunday was to hear the fans booing the players after the game. I understand they lost, they blew a big lead and all of that. But for me, I never try and tell fans when they can boo and when or where and all of that. But the one thing I look at when you take into account booing is, for me, is effort and preparation, you know, execution. And you can't tell me that Derek Carr and those players were not trying to win that game, you know? And so for Derek to go into the black hole and to have fans booing him when he's trying to pay his respect to them, I just thought was unfortunate and disappointing.
Raider fan going Raider fan. I can't lie to you, Jim. Like, I'm having a tough time refuting that logic, but there's a small piece of me that thought that was so Raider fan of them. That was the most Raider fan thing ever. They wanted to win so badly. The team came from ahead. They melted down. They weren't having it. But again, I can't really refute what you're saying. Let me finally ask you that.
Yeah, what I think, though, is that fans, I think more than anything, it's directed at ownership. And because they can't get to ownership, they take it out on the players, mm-hmm. which is really unfortunate to me. I think, if anything, when teams move, It's not players who say, we want to move to a different city. It's owners who say, we want to move for whatever reason. And we could get into that. That could take a long conversation. But they don't have a way of expressing that to owner, you know, the fans who are in that city that's being left at the altar, so to speak. So I understood the frustration of the fans. I just felt for the players in that point who are trying to show their respect for the fans and who truly wanted to win that game for them. To have to walk away with those boos, that kind of hurt a little bit.
Jim Trotter, my guest. So, Jim, finally, you and Damian Woody had this great Twitter exchange the other day when he tweeted, quote, I just wiped out a 90-minute workout in 10 minutes eating butter pecan ice cream, end quote. I think we've all been there. So what did you make of his ice cream choice? If you're going to wipe out all that work with ice cream, is butter pecan the way you want to go?
Hell no. I mean, who eats butter pecan ice cream? I just the thought of it makes me, you know, nauseous. So if he had said, look, I knocked it down with some strawberry, banana strawberry or chocolate or you know, some chocolate chip or even mint chocolate, whatever. But butter pecan, I mean, God, Romy, I just had breakfast and now, you know, you got me a little nauseous here with that.
My bad, that's awful. That's
awful.
Great, though. I think the notion, though, the point that he had a 90-minute workout, probably felt great coming out of the gym and just smashed it and gave it all back. We've all been there.
Absolutely.
It's just a matter of whether or not you want to waste it on butter pecan. He's a reporter and a storyteller for NFL Media. He is a Hall of Fame voter and, again, the author of Junior Seau, The Life and Death of a Football Icon. Goes without saying, Jim, I appreciate you very much. Great to have you back. Thank you.
No, brother, thanks for having me. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays. Merry Christmas. Jim Trotter is an all-time jungle legend. We love him. Good stuff. Yeah, his point was, come on, man. Butter pecan?